Hallelujah. Such an awesome privilege we have to be in God's house, worship Him and praise His holy name. Don't you love the Lord?
Amen.
Thank you, choir. Be on alert. I may holler at you in a moment. Praise the Lord. Glad to be in the house of the Lord. So thankful for God's Word. So thankful that you're here today as we worship and praise and magnify the name of the Lord. God's in full control and He's got everything under control, regardless of what the world looks like or thinks like or acts like. If you have your Bibles, I'm getting right into the Word of God. Turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 4. Don't get despondent or ready to run. We're going to talk about worshiping today. Revelation chapter 4. Such an awesome, awesome privilege to know God, to be saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ on our way to heaven. I've had this on my mind for a couple of weeks now at least, and it's just been burning inside, and my heart's desire and prayer is that the Holy Ghost will take this message and permeate it on your heart like you ain't ever seen it in your entire life. I was thinking as I was preparing this message and on our trip to Colorado, I've been to Estes Park one other time, and my anticipation of going to Estes Park was escalated to such a point I could not wait to get there. If you've been to Estes Park, you know what I'm talking about in northern Colorado. If you've never been there before, you need to go and you'll understand what I'm talking about. It has to be one of the most beautiful places, and I know there's beautiful places everywhere. God created things in perfection. Man's messed it up. But to me, it's one of the most beautiful places I ever been to in my entire life. The serenity of it. So I was anticipating going there for the last several weeks. Just couldn't wait to get there. And then after I got there, I was just so excited to be there and look at all the scenery and everything that's going on. And in comparison to that, which there's really not a comparison to that, is our desire to go to heaven. We've never been there before, but our desire and our longing to go there with what the Scripture tells us about heaven should be a desire in our heart that is so overwhelming. I know Brother Aaron mentioned about being hot and hell so hot I don't want to go there, but can I tell you, we should not serve God because we don't want to go to hell. We need to serve God because God is so good. He's so awesome. It's not the point, and let that soak in a little bit, it's not the point that hell is so bad. It is. But it's God is so good. God is so good. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. I want to read the whole chapter, but I'll try to do it quickly, and then we're going to break it down. After this I looked, and there behold, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." And once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And one who sat there had the appearance of jasper, like an orange-red stone. It was so magnificent. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones. Sitting on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. And doesn't that already sound like a spectacular place? And from the thrones came flashes of lightnings, rumbles and peals of thunder before the throne. Seven lamps were blazing. There are seven spirits of God also before the throne. There were what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center round about the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and back. And the first living creature was like a lion, the second like an ox, the third like the face of a man, the fourth like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings, was covered with eyes all around, even under their wings, day and night. They never stop. Somebody say, never stop. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creature give glory, honor, thanks to Him who sit on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before Him who sit on their thrones and worshipped Him who lives forever and ever, and they laid their crown before the throne and said, You are worthy, our Lord God, to receive glory, honor, and power. And You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Such an awesome, spectacular, miraculous place that God is preparing for us. That one of these days, and I don't think it'll be very long, we will be there. I pray today that your anticipation as you hear this message will grow stronger and stronger, that you desire to be there. Revelations, the 4th chapter, the 1st verse, said, After this I looked, and beheld a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which had heard, addressing me like a call, a war trumpet, saying, there was such enthusiasm, there was such might, there was such power, there was such a desire that was so overwhelming that John said, I heard someone addressing me, and it was so intense. Somebody say intense. Shake somebody next to you. Say, don't go to sleep, man. We may be raptured out before we get through this service. But it was so intense that it was like a trumpet calling to war, saying, come up here and I'm going to show you what's going to take place in the future. Don't everybody like to know what's going to happen before it happens? Sure we do. Inquiring minds want to know. And we got a bunch of them. We like to know. Well, he gives us a glimpse here of what to know and what's going to happen, what's going to take place. And with enthusiasm, he tells John, come up here and I'm going to show you what's going to take place hereafter. One might ask, as we look at these scriptures, and I know some people say, I don't like to read the book of Revelation, don't understand what it's saying. Somebody said, it scares me to read the book of Revelation because of all the terrible things that happen. Can I tell you, it's not necessarily that you have to understand it, but the Bible declares that we need to read it. It's not something that's terrible. It's something that's good's going to happen, especially to the child of God. One might ask, why is this scripture so important? Another might ask, well, why in the world do I need to, why do I need to pay attention to this? And why do I need to look into this? What in the world does it have to do with me? Well, I'm so glad that you ask. Aren't you glad you ask? Yeah. I'm glad that you ask. Because I want to tell you that in the 4th and the 5th chapter of the book of Revelation, you're found right smack dab in the middle of it. Hello? Come on, preach with me just a little bit this morning, church. You're found right, and I love that, right smack dab. How many knows what smack dab is? You're right smack dab in the middle of it. That's why it should interest you. That's why it should intrigue you. That's why you should get excited. You say, I just don't know how. I'm just not one of those exciting type of people. I like to stay confined. Can I tell you, when you visualize what God has for you and what could have been if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, you need to get excited. You need to understand the excitement that's happened. Can I tell you, because if you're saved, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to be right smack dab in the middle of chapter 5 of the book of Revelations. You're going to be around the throne of God, experiencing every bit of it. We see so much going on in Revelations chapter 4. And I don't want to lose you, and I don't want to get off on a rabbit chase somewhere, but I want you to understand that the main focus of chapter 4 and chapter 5 is to help us to understand what's taking place in heaven. The main focus is worshiping Him that sits on the throne. The main purpose is He who sits on the throne is receiving praise and glory and honor forever and ever. Throughout the book of Revelations, we see a lot of sevens. The seven spirits of God don't refer to God having seven different spirits. Rather, it refers to the completion of God Himself. And everything that's been done, I want you to think about it for just a moment. The completion of God at this particular time when John has seen the picture of what's taking place and what's going to happen in that latter day. The seven spirits of God is God in His completion. And He's going to look around the whole crowd. He's going to look at the creatures. He's going to look at the 24 elders. And then He's going to look at the saints of God and the angels, and their millions upon millions upon millions as we worship God around the throne of God. Do you realize at that particular point, God said, what I intended from the beginning has been completed, and we're going to worship Him throughout the eons of eternity. Hear me, church, today. What God intended for fellowship from the beginning, He's going to say it is completed and it is finished. When Christ was on the cross, He said, it is finished. God's going to look around about the throne and He's going to say, it is completed. It is finished. That which I have begun from the very foundations of this world, it has been completed and it has been finished. Oh, glory. Those seven different circumstances and all through the Bible, it is signified and it is certain on these specific things. And the seven that is used in the Bible symbolizes perfection. It symbolizes fullness. It symbolizes the abundance. It symbolizes rest. And it symbolizes completion. At the seven lamps, as they represented the seven churches of Asia, the seven spirits of God don't refer to God having seven different spirits, but rather again, completion in what God had intended to start with. John chapter 4 verses 23 and 24 says, but the hour cometh and now is that the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Say, well, I just have a hard time getting excited. Well, begin to think about Jesus and what He's done for you and you'll get excited. It totally is beyond my comprehension. Some people can get excited about their football team, baseball team, ice hockey team, soccer team, whatever it may be. And they can stay out in zero temperatures with no shirts on and acting like they're having a good time. Gotta be drunk. And we come to the house of God and sit like toads on a stool somewhere, forgetting what God has done for us and what's fixing to take place. Oh, come on, preach with me for just a little bit. Don't be a toad, be happy. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. For the Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do you have that picture, Sister Lisa? It's not compatible. Well, hallelujah, anyhow. We'll make it. Thank you for trying. Speaking of the seven churches of Asia, which is Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to get sidetracked here. That's another message for another time. But I want you to understand the perfection of God and what God has done, where He's brought us from. Do you understand that the seven churches of Asia, each one of them was given a personal greeting or a personal address? Jesus Christ Himself personally addressed them. Each one of them seen a specific characteristic of God. Didn't mean that each one of us have different characteristics. And each one of them seen the characteristics of God. Each one received a commendation, a pat on the back. Each one of them received a condemnation. This is what you're doing wrong. Each one of them received a correction. Listen, you need to straighten up and do what's right. The reason God does this is He's trying to get His people ready to get to where He's talking about. Each one is given a call to hear, an invitation to do what the Spirit of God is saying. And each one is promised a reward if they'll respond. Somebody say respond to the message that is being given. I'd like to give you a rundown of each of the seven churches, but that's for later. But I'll mention, as I mentioned earlier, the whole purpose was the focus, which is the extreme worship of God who sat upon the throne. The extreme worship of God. People like to get extreme. People like to get radical. Everything about Christ, except Christ. But there's extreme worship going on in heaven. Hey, I said there's extreme worship. You say, well, we ain't there yet. Well, you better get prepared, because if you ain't getting practice up down here, you probably ain't going to get up there. See, that sounds a little radical, does it? Listen to what happens. The extreme worship is because He who sits on the throne. We see the present age in Revelation chapter 4, verses 14 through 22, is the Laodicean church. It's classified as the church of the rule of the people. We have forgotten God. We do our own thing, go our own way, have our own way of doing things. And he said we have a form of spirituality. We have a form of godliness, but we deny the power of thereof. And it's ruled, the Laodicean church is a rule of the people, lukewarm, apostate religion, renouncing the perversion of religion or even the political beliefs or principles. And you look around our world today and you can see so much perversion. We have went radical in renouncing religion. We have went radical in destroying the principles and the beliefs of our forefathers. But God help us to realize that there's a payday coming, and there's a payday coming soon and very soon. So we move from the Laodicean age in chapter 3 to chapter number 4. And in chapter number 4, we move to into the church's predicament in verse number 1 of chapter 4 of Revelation, where it brings us into the future. What John sees is going on in heaven, not what could happen, what might happen, but what will happen. Are you feeling like that? Are you feeling this like I'm feeling this? And again, can I use my favorite words? We leave the Laodicean age in chapter 3, verse 14, to chapter 1, or chapter 4, verse 1, that what will happen, we're going to be right smack dab in the middle of it. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open. And a voice addressing me like a war trumpet said, come up here and I'm going to show you what's going to happen hereafter. It was serious. It was urgent. It's serious. It's urgent. There was some anticipation. There was some excitement there in heaven. Here's what I'm referring to as the blood-bought saints, where their names are written in the book of life, being in the middle of this fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, and chapter number 5. And Revelation 5, 8 and 9 says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later. When he'd taken the book, the four beasts, in verse number 9, he said, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to take the book. There was something specific about that, and it's worship. And again, I'll get into that just a little bit later. So we need to consider the picture of this reality of the Word of God in Revelations 4 and 5. We need to understand the picture of that reality, that we're going to be a part of it. It was so awesome, again, to go to the northern part of Colorado. If I'd invited some of you, how many would have went? Yeah, you bet. Because you want to be a part of it. You want to be a part of something that's extraordinary. The rest of you, you just have to listen. You just have to have a visual in your mind. You don't really want to participate. That's the way it is. God has written out a plan to those that want. How many wants to go to heaven? There's several more. Some of you still a little bit reluctant. But a desire. I want to explain to you that it is absolutely extraordinary. what John is hearing from that angel that's calling out to him. It's urgent and it needs a response. And today, church, we need to respond to God. That picture that we're relating to you today needs to be understood, that it's a part of reality, the reality and the atmosphere of what's fixing to take place. Oh, glory to God, the atmosphere, the reality. When we got closer to Estes Park, the atmosphere, the excitement kept building until I come over the hill and I seen down in the valley Estes Park and how beautiful it was. There was something about the awesomeness and there was something about the glory of what God had created. And I'm here to tell you today that this picture that I'm trying to give you in the book of Revelation, the atmosphere and the reality is fixing to take place. I said it's fixing to take place, and the awesomeness of what price has been paid that we might have this great assembly and worship God forever and ever. Revelation chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. The rainbow encircled the throne and seen in its completion like the emerald. Such a beautiful sight there one afternoon there in Colorado Springs. It had rained and I looked toward the eastern sky and there was a rainbow there in such awesome and such beauty and such passion that God put that covenant. God made that covenant with man. Can I tell you, the world in which we live in, they have taken or they have tried to take an emblem that God has made for a covenant and used it for their own purpose and their color of rainbow. But can I tell you today that no man, that covenant does not belong, or that symbol does not belong to any man or any group or any organization. That symbol is a symbol of God's covenant to man that belongs to them, that only is given by God. And I thank God today for the covenant. And there around the throne of God, we see a rainbow and the significance of its completion. I'm here to tell you today, it's going to be the best thing you've ever seen in your entire life. And we're going to be a part of it and we're going to enjoy the blessings of God. The elders there in verse number 4, the elders, the 24 of them was clothed in white, sitting on their throne, as it was encircled the throne, having crowns of gold upon their head. Just perhaps there was one represented, just perhaps there's one representation from the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. I don't know exactly how it all going to be, but they all equal 24. But can I tell you, by the way, just to let you know, it's not important of who necessarily is there, except who sits on the throne. And the worship of Him that sits on the throne is more important upon the end than the individuals that's there. We've talked about and we've mentioned in classes, and perhaps, you know, we talk about receiving our reward when we get there. We talk about what kind of reward it's going to be, bringing in the sheaves. And receiving rewards for the cheese that we bring in. I mean, for the saints that we bring in and get saved. Sorry about that. I was going back to my childhood. You remember that song, Miss Little, Bringing in the Cheese? Come on, folks. Lighten up a little bit. The excitement is building. As I read to you through these scriptures, the excitement is building. The 24 elders around the throne of God, each having a golden crown upon their head. Maybe some of you have got a room that's got a bunch of trophies in, things you've won down here, things you've accomplished down here. Somebody said, well, does it really matter? We like this high-tech spirituality. Really ain't worried about no rewards, bless His holy name. I just want to see Jesus. We're going to have rewards when we get up there. And I can tell you what we're going to do with them. How many wants to know what we're going to do with them? You're not going to build a trophy case. Huh? But when you get around the throne of God, Brother Aaron, we're going to take our crowns, we're going to take our rewards, and we're going to lay them at Jesus' feet, because He is the one that is worthy of all praise. He's the one that we're the reason that we're even there. He's the one. It's the crown. It's not because of us, but it's because of Him. Our focus is not on us. Our focus is upon Jesus Christ. Our focus is upon He that sits upon the throne. In His completion, how glory and how honor, awesome it is, and the honor that we have just to be there because of the glory and the power of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the 6th, 7th, and 8th verses, and I want to slow down for just a second. How much time have I got? I'm speaking on eternity, right? Some of you got that, some of you get it later. It speaks of the four beasts. In the speaking of the four beasts, we as human beings, for the most part, we think of beast as something that's being like brute, beast, kind of obnoxious. We think about beast as being the Incredible Hulk, or you know, some ferocious lion that comes out of the jungles of Africa. But the true meaning of this and the true word in here is not beast, but creatures. The characteristics is not of a beast, but the and if you don't understand what the Bible is saying, you perhaps could think of a beast, but they're really creatures, as they represent all the living creatures that God ever created. They are not fierce brute beasts, as some may have them characterized. But listen, they are beautiful creatures representing the perfection of creation before sin entered into the world. Their faces shows their possession of qualities of God in the perfection of creation. I want you to stop and think for just a moment. 24 thrones around the main throne with 24 elders, and each having a gold crown. And all of a sudden we see these four creatures, and these four creatures having they possess the qualities, and in their facial expression they express the quality and the grandeur and the perfectionness of creation. The first creature shows the courage and majesty of a lion. Hear me, church. The first creature shows the courage and the majesty as a lion. The second creature shows the patience and endurance as the service of an ox. The third shows the intelligence of a man. And the fourth shows the swiftness of the action of the eagle. Each of these creatures full of eyes, front and back. The ability to see in front of them and also behind them. But I also understand, or I feel like, that this is my theology part when it says that they was full of eyes under their wings, as they had six different wings. I believe that these even represented their ability to see what was past in history and what was also coming up in the future. We see that these amazing creatures had six wings, much like the seraphims we see in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 2, and had the ability to multitask. I could say something smart right here and tell you that they had to be female to multitask, because us guys can't multitask. Glory, I felt that one come back. With two of their wings, they covered their face with reverence unto Him that sits on the throne. With two of their wings, they covered their feet in humility toward Him who sits on the throne. The two of their wings they did fly, carrying themselves with continued action, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." Isaiah seen the similar picture as the seraphims cried, "Holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of His glory." Can I tell you, church, it was so powerful that the doorposts began to move because of the praise, because of the worship, because of the adoration unto God. The doorposts begin to move. What in the world is wrong with us today? We're blood-bought children of God. Got a place to go to. Why in the world do we not get excited about the things of God? The house was filled with smoke because of the glory of God. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 1 says, "And there was a scroll in the hand of the Almighty God, as a strong angel announcing with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll?'" Christian, Tammy, musicians, would you come? Lord, have mercy. Will you speak, O God, today? I believe you are. Help us to hear. There was a scroll in the hand of the Almighty God. Listen, listen. The throne with the rainbow around the throne. You know what I'd like for you to do? I'd like for the choir to start coming up one or two at a time. Just come on. Just one or two at a time. Start filling the choir back up. Hey, we're going to have church here this morning. I don't know what else is going to happen, but that's what I feel like needs to happen. We may be still praising God. It's just like heaven. There's a child of God going home one at a time, two at a time, three at a time. They're taking their space. They're filling their space. There's a scroll in the hand of Almighty God as a strong angel announced with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the seal?" Who is worthy? Who has the entitlement? Who is the deserving one? Who is morally fit? And when one came forward that was worthy, there was no one coming forward, and John began to cry uncontrollably. And then all of a sudden, verse number 5, one of the elders came and told John to dry it up. Dry it up, John. We found somebody. We found someone from the line of the tribe of Judah. He is the offspring of David. He has overcome. He has conquered. I'm here to tell you, church, we don't serve God because hell's too hot. We serve God because He's so good. He has overcome. He has conquered. He has won. His victory has earned Him the right and the authority to be the one worthy. John sees the scenario unfold as the Lamb stands there with marks of one who had been slain, having 7 horns, the completeness of power and perfection. 7 eyes, the completeness of ministry, perfection. The 7 spirits of God, the completion of the work of the Holy Ghost. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The one that John said, "I must decrease, but He must increase." There is one that's standing among us that I'm not worthy to stoop down and unbuckle the shoes, the latches on His sandals. He is the one that come forward and took the book out of the Holy God. He is the one that was worthy to open the seals of that book. Are you ready? He takes the book or the scroll out of the hand of Him that sat on the throne. It's already awesome and powerful. Can you just visualize? Then all at once, I want you to know, when the Lamb took the book out of God's hand, all of once, rejoicing and shouting broke out like you ain't ever seen before. The 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell prostrate before the Lamb with instruments, whether it was guitars, whether it was flutes, whether it was harps, I don't know, it don't matter. But they had instruments that they had been playing. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy. Not only did they have instruments, but they had bowls full of the fragrant spices for burning that represented the prayers of the saints. Can you just visualize that? I just want you to think for just a moment. The saints of God had been holding back for just a period of time. The 24 elders around the throne of God, the 4 creatures, was worshiping and praising God, throwing their crowns at His feet. And all the saints of God was just standing back waiting for their turn. The 24 elders, the disciples, the tribes of Israel, representation there, though God had redeemed them that had come to Him. The 4 creatures that represented all of mankind, they could not grasp the atoning blood of Jesus Christ that so freely flowed down Calvary. And I can just imagine in my mind as those saints of God. They was there. The vials that was there was the prayers of the saints. Verse number 9, it said, and they sung a new song. I believe that directly references the presence of the saints of God. It says they sung a new song. We sang it and get excited down there. Can you imagine what was going to happen when we sang that song up there? They sang a new song, the song of redeem, power is the blood, worthy is the Lamb. What a stirring and a shouting that just broke out in heaven. Oh, glory to God. We ought to be excited today, church. John just saw a picture of the child of God that is blood bought, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a stirring and a shouting just broke out in heaven. These that have been in the shadows just step forward to pay gratitude to the redemption. Hallelujah. I can't help, church, but believe that the four creatures and the 24 elders, along with all the angels in heaven, had to stand in silence for a moment to listen to the melody of the blood-bought saints that sung, I'm redeemed by blood divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. What makes you think that's the way it's going to be? Because 1 Peter tells us, chapter 1 and verse 12, unto them whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us that did minister these the things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Glory, glory, glory. They sung a new song. In verse 9 of Revelation chapter 5, and verse 10 says, and has been made unto God kings and priests. Oh, glory. More than just a child of God. Made kings and priests. Verse 11 said, and I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels around about the throne of God, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 times thousands of thousands. Can you fathom? Can you fathom that kind of choir? In verse 12, get ready to sing, choir. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings, as we stand together all over this building, church. And as they sing, as we lift our hands unto God, if you need anything from God right this morning, you need to step out of your seat as we worship. As we worship Him. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Satan knows his time is short. We're fixing to go to heaven, church. The rapture is fixing to take place, and what a glorious place. Whatever you need from God, this altar is open.